The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, since we last left our heroes, boy, there was a lot happening since Ron and I left the show on Friday. Was a marathon baseball game. It seemed like everybody that played that was ranked at some point lost in college football Saturday. One incredible messy day for the rankings. And then yesterday, a full day of the NFL capped off by the World Series wrapping up in Los Angeles exactly like it did last year. And the Boston Red Sox are the champions of baseball. We're going to get to all of that coming up on the show today. If you can hit us up at 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio or at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. We're going to start with the World Series. I'm going to move into the NFL because I want to get to the fact that baseball is over and the best team that was in Major League Baseball won the championship. Did America care? Ratings seem to be down. Did America, is America making a statement about money in the game? You know, I don't know. I know this. The Red Sox were a team that did it, won these series, whether it was the Yankees, whether it was the Astros, whether it was the Dodgers. The Red Sox had a very unique way of winning series very quickly and then making you feel like the other team, if they had just done this or that, they would have won the series. Yankee fans still grumbling about some of the moves that Aaron Boone made. The Astros feel like, man, if Andrew Benintendi doesn't catch that, we would have won this thing. We were better. And the Dodgers, you can look at all of the problems the Dodgers have had, from bats that were silent to too many pop-outs to stupid pitching changes and to a myriad of issues. But in the end, let's all be honest here. Now that we had a chance to look at this championship and this whole playoffs, in the end, the Red Sox are just teasing all of you. If you were a Yankee fan, an Astros fan, a Dodger fan, it didn't matter. They were just teasing you. You were never going to win the series. You weren't going to beat them in six. You weren't going to beat them in seven. You weren't going to beat them in five. You weren't going to come back and beat them down 3-1. No, you weren't. No chance. The Red Sox were better in every facet of baseball. They were the champions of the entire season, and that's why they're the world champions for the year. We'll get into the World Series in the NFL. That was on the Sunday on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Where to begin? A full weekend of NFL football, of college football, not chaos in a sense. Not really chaos at the top with Alabama, but nevertheless. But I got to go with the World Series. Red Sox win it all, 5-1 over the Dodgers in Game 5. All right, so let me tell a little story, because Friday night I was calling a football game for a local high school, and the game was miles away from my house. It was like a 90-minute drive without traffic. It almost took me 2 hours to get there with traffic, way up north Tennessee, almost near the Kentucky border. So I go up there, and I do the game, and the game goes pretty quick, two running teams, so the game ends pretty quickly. And I get in the car, and I'm driving back, and I'm listening to the game, and it's about the seventh inning or so. And I'm just cruising in, and it's kind of a slow couple of innings. So I get home, and I write up the quick little game story and whatnot, and I'm watching the game, and I'm really tired, and I'm like, okay, but I'm gonna finish this game. And it gets into the 10th inning, the 11th inning, the 12th inning. And at some point, I'm like, okay, I got two choices. I don't have a dog in this fight, so I can just give up and go to bed and wake up and find out who won. Or I can continue with this marathon just to see how it ends. And if it reaches a point where it's insanity to just stay up this late with stuff to do on Saturday, then I'll make that decision. So I stay up. I get to like the 13th inning. I think that was the point where the Red Sox went up, and then the Dodgers tied the game. And so we keep going along. And then there was the moment. So I'm laying on the couch, and I'm laying on the pillow. And then there's this moment where I'm like starting to drift off, and I'm like, nope, I'm gonna staying up. And then I said to myself, you know what? I ain't leaving. I ain't going upstairs until I stay to the end of this thing. Because if I stay to the end of this thing, that's historic. Something is brewing here in this game. I feel like it's just going to keep going. It's going to be historic. And man, I'm pulling for the Dodgers because I kind of want the game to end so I could go to bed. I mean, I just want to walk off. There was a moment in the game. It was Justin Turner was at the plate in like the 15th inning. And I'm laying on the couch, and he hits this bomb, and I get up into the couch, and I yell to nobody in the house because everybody's sound asleep. I yell, time to go to bed, and it's a foul ball. And little did I know we were going to hang out for another three innings of baseball. But then when Max Muncy hit it, I was too tired to cheer. I was so beat. But I got through it. The marathon was in the books. Now, here's the deal. So I stay up all through the night to get that result, right? Mostly because I honestly couldn't have cared less who won the game. I honestly was like, at this point, I don't care. I just wanted to end. But I don't think this is great for the game. I don't think this is epic. I don't think this is awesome. This is long. It's 7+ hours long. But it is historic. We have never seen a World Series game like this. But then I'm thinking, as I'm walking up to the bedroom, and it's really late, and I'm thinking to myself, could this be a game changer? The Dodgers actually got a game. It took them 18 innings, but they got a game against this Red Sox team. Now, if they pull it out Saturday night, if they win this Saturday night, then the series is tied and anything's available. Oh, what a fool I was. What a fool I was to think this. Because the Yankees thought this too. The Astros thought this too. And now the Dodgers had a brief moment of time where they thought this as well. But it was all for naught. The Red Sox didn't need Game 3. They didn't need 18 innings. They'll beat you in Game 4 and Game 5. And for the second straight year, and I was going to look this up, and I kind of didn't want to go through the whole history of the World Series. For the second straight year, a stadium was the celebration point of a World Series championship that was not the home team. So for 2 years in a row, Dodger Stadium is the place where the celebrations occurred for the world champions, for the Astros and now the Red Sox. And Boston, as I said at the top of the hour, they were the best team all season long. They did everything right. Nate Eovaldi pitched what I thought was the best game of the series. His, what, 7-out innings before he gave up the home run? You asked your Game 4 starter to come in relief in a tight tie game? And oh, by the way, see, starters aren't built to hold a game. Starters aren't built to keep a game in check. Starters go do their thing, Hope that there's a rhythm to the game. Hope there is a rhythm to the pitching. If they give up a couple of runs, usually it's early, or you know, it's around the fourth or fifth inning. They're only going about six or seven anyway, and there's still plenty of baseball to play. Nate Eovaldi, who is the game four starter, comes in game three and pitches lights out baseball, except for the Muncy home run. Lights out baseball in relief. And I think it's overlooked. Red Sox fans should never, ever, ever make him buy a drink again. Every Red Sox fan, Nate Eovaldi, whether he's on the team or not on the team, playing for somebody else, whatever it is, he should be a folk hero for this World Series team for what he did in game three. Game four and five. Last night, the Dodgers were disinterested, flushed out, standing around with their bats on their shoulders, grounding out again, popping out again, can't move runners. But that's the Red Sox. The Red Sox did it. Yankee fans, and I said this before, Yankee fans really did believe, oh no, if we had Giancarlo Stanton hitting like he was, or if we had Aaron Boone didn't make this mistake or this mistake, we would have won that series. Astros fans felt the same way. Dodgers fans complaining about Manny Machado, complaining about Cody Bellinger's inability to hit at times, complaining about Dave Roberts and taking out Hill in game four. It's all for nothing, because the Red Sox were better, and they were better than everybody. And if there was a team that exemplified from start to finish being a championship team, it's this team. Now, I don't want to make it Red Sox Yankees. Like, I don't want to get away from that. I totally get away from that. This is Boston's time, Boston series, and the Dodgers are the National League champions. However, if you're the Yankees, this is now starting to be something you have got to answer for your base, because Red Sox are celebrating way too many championships in the last 15 years than you are. And it is a rivalry that is based on that. Right? They fight for the same players. They have the same payroll for the same players. If Brian Cashman doesn't do a good enough job of building, it's all in there. Red Sox have now built themselves in the last 15 years. They have given themselves a generation that has not by any means known the pain of this franchise from the 1918 World Series to the 2004 World Series, the 86-year drought. They don't know any of that. There are 17-year-old, 18-year-old kids. There are kids going to Boston colleges in all of New England that don't know any of their father's agony and pain of being a Red Sox fan. They don't know any of that. What they know is my team, every couple of years, wins a championship. And my God, they're good. My God, they're one of the best teams ever to be put together. I wanted this series to go long because I like those kind of series. But if this series had went on and went longer, it actually would have told us a false story about this Red Sox team. And that false story would have been, wow, they were really close to losing it after winning 108 games. They were never close to losing this after winning 108 games. Never. They were never at any point in any of the series they played in danger. Ever. Take a game one, didn't matter. Take game three, it didn't matter. Win in 18 innings, oh, maybe it's demoralizing. Not a chance. The three teams that they faced never had a chance ever at any point, at any second of these series. Not the Dodgers, not the Astros, not the Yankees. The Dodgers have a very good baseball team, a very good baseball team. Not as good as the Red Sox. Yankees and Astros, the same thing. Not as good. Maybe another year, but not this year. Maybe next year, something falls apart with this Red Sox team and it opens the door for the Astros again. Maybe the Yankees again. Maybe the Dodgers win it all again. Whatever. Not this year. And it was all put together. It was put together by this organization's ability to say, you know what? We know what we're seeing. We see guys we like. We know what they can bring. We know what different roles. We finally have a manager that can put this all together in Alex Cora, and we like it, and we're going to win a lot of games with this group doing it our way. We're going to hit like hell, and we're going to pitch it the same way, and we're going to throttle everybody we play. Now, two things about that. You can watch that World Series and enjoy what you saw, the sort of domination by one team, and say, man, I'm never going to see the likes of that in a while. It's not very many times in your life that you get a 108-win team that goes on to win the World Series. Or you can say, wow, that wasn't good at all. I didn't enjoy that. I didn't enjoy that series. I enjoyed one game, maybe, but even that one game went way too long, even for a Friday night. Because let's be honest. You get an 18-inning game, everyone's like, yeah, it's awesome, it's baseball, all this business. That was 7.5 hours of baseball. And if you're if it's Friday night and it's 2 a.m., and you're watching two teams you don't really care about, God bless you, because a lot of people don't. I mean, I was ready to give up. I couldn't have cared less who won the game, and I was ready to say, now I got too many things on Saturday I got to do. I'm not going to stay up till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning to then figure this out down the road. I mean, at one point, it was funny, because at one point, they showed the time in Los Angeles. It was approaching midnight, and it's like, you know it's late. If you're watching a game in L.A., and it shows that the time is midnight, no matter where you live outside of the West Coast, that's late. But it wasn't the game changer. It didn't change the momentum of this series. We got fooled by it with the Yankees winning a game at Fenway. We got fooled by it by the Astros winning a game early in that series, game one of that series. And maybe it was me, but I got a little bit like, man, maybe the Dodgers can make something of this, but it wasn't. And it's not to rip the Red Sox. The Red Sox did what they had to do. It's not their responsibility to put out an entertaining series by making it close. But If you're ripping Dave Roberts for stuff, that's absolutely apropos. You certainly can. If you're booing Dave Roberts because he took out Rich Hill in that game, that you should. And you should boo Manny Machado for putting his bat on his shoulder, not hitting in certain spots. And you know what? Cody Bellinger probably should have hit better too. This whole team probably should have hit better. They popped out a lot. I made this comment. It's like every time they would have a threatening situation, they'd pop out. Pop fly to third. And it was tough. It was a tough series in that capacity. All right, 800-777-2907. All right, we'll get to some NFL coming up. A little bit more on what we saw in baseball as we wrap that board up. But a kind of an interesting situation is going on. A number of teams in the NFL. We'll get to all of that coming up. 800-777-2907. Or hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we've been talking about the World Series. Boston are your champions of baseball. Before we get to the phones, real quick, Ron, I'm never going to criticize Joe Buck again. I'm not going to join that crowd. That was a long game Friday night, and he did it with enthusiasm that I probably wouldn't have given if I was the Fox baseball announcer.
Not only that, but we have to remember, too, that this was, what, four games in a row? That was his fourth game in a row?
Exactly. Did two World Series game, a Thursday night football game in Houston, and then an 18-inning marathon game, and he was just as into the game in the 13th inning, 14th inning, and 18th inning as he was at any moment in the game, and I probably would have checked out. I probably would have been like, I'm a little tired, so I'm just going to not talk, and you guys tell me what happened. I mean, he was great.
I still think, however, he could have called Rams-Packers.
He could have. Yeah, he copped out
on that one.
He wimped out on us. All right, let's go to Jack in Texas, wants to talk about the Red Sox and their long-suffering fans. What's up, Jack?
Hey, I just wanted to completely agree with your comment about how our kids – these days believe that Sox are winners, and it really changes your outlook in life. You know, back when we won the first time in 04, I don't need to win the second or third or fourth. I was just so happy to win the first.
Oh, right, yeah.
And if you're a Yankee fan, you can expect to win every year, but the Red Sox, we're just happy to win the first time, and the Patriots are roughly the same. Growing up, the Patriots were horrible. Had a couple good players in the 70s and early 80s, but you know, now kids are pretty cocky. You expect to win every year, which is how Yankee fans think. And so for our generation, you know, our kids are getting pretty cocky about this and are, you know, expect to win every year, when, you know, those of us who suffered, we were happy with just the first win.
Yeah, no.
So anyway, you were 100% right there. I tell people that all the time.
Yeah, you should. Thank you for the call, Jack. Appreciate it. I grew up in New England, so I remember like 1986. Like I did not grow up a Red Sox fan. I was born in New York, and then I moved to New. I was in, you know, 6 years old. I moved to New England, but I knew my friends. I mean, in '86, and I know we told this story last week. The '86 World Series with the Red Sox and the Mets. The '86 World Series. That game six was a Saturday. Game seven was supposed to be a Sunday, but it rained out and it went into Monday. So I went to school on Monday, and everyone in my school that had been rooting for the Red Sox were really down. My friends were really down. They didn't feel that Boston was going to win. There was like, of course, there's a chance, but they felt like there was just that the curse was real. Their dads were right. I mean, they were never going to win it, and that game totally was, you know, the classic example of that, right? There wasn't a lot of enthusiasm, and they didn't win, and they did, you know, they didn't go to another World Series again, and then they go in 2003, and Aaron Boone hits the home run, and it's like, again, we're never going to win. We're never going to get to the series. We're never going to win this thing. This curse is killing us. And then in 2004, they're down 3-0, and they're down 3-0, they're getting to the ninth inning, and John Sterling like is on the Yankee broadcast bragging about how great it's going to be to sweep the Red Sox. They're three outs away from sweeping the Red Sox. So imagine you're at that point. The Mariano Rivera's on the mound in 2004. You haven't won anything since 1918. The Yankees are once again going to go to the World Series, once again go for a championship. They already had won four in, you know, 5 years or whatever it was. And then you're like, we never get to go to this thing. It stinks. And Dave Roberts steals a base. And then you win a game. And you win two games. You win three games. You win four games. Next thing you know, you're in St. Louis and you're celebrating a championship. And that's over. And now they have built this machine up. Look, they're not dynastic. I'm not trying to tell you. They're not the Yankees of 96, 98, 99, and 2000. All right? They didn't win four in a five-year span. Okay, but, and the Red Sox kind of went up and down. But again, like Jack pointed out, there is a generation now in New England that does not have any clue what that was, the pain of 86, the pain of the playoffs of 88, the pain of 2003, 99 they lost in the playoffs to the Yankees. They don't know none of that. What they remember is they were like a little kid, and then the Red Sox won, and then they were a little older, and the Red Sox won again, and they were a teenager, and the Red Sox won again, and now they're probably, you know, 18, 19 years old heading into adulthood, and the Red Sox win again. Right? And he's right about Yankee fans. Yankee fans, that's a different kind of expectation. It's a different kind of pressure. Right? When Brian Cashman is like, oh my God, I can't. Like, every Yankee fan wants a few of them in their lifetime, right? Every Yankee fan wants a few of them from their childhood, adult. They don't expect anything less, right? My dad had about 10 of these. My grandpa had like 12 of these. You know, like, the Red Sox didn't have that. And now they do. And now they do. And they were fantastic. They were great. And I'll keep saying this point. They had a way of this series of making you believe that they were vulnerable. And they were never vulnerable. David Price pitched lights out in this series. Lights out in this series. What was the big Achilles heel for the Red Sox? David Price. Well, you might be able to get a game with David Price pitches. He stinks in the postseason. No. He didn't. Red Sox bullpen. Well, if you could get the starters out, the Red Sox bullpen isn't very good. They were good, too. Alex Cora outmanaged. He knew the right buttons to press. He didn't overmanage this team. He didn't play all the ridiculous cards that you could play. He went with a lot of gut feelings. He went with a lot of guys he knew who could produce. He did switch some lineups around. He didn't move the outfield and switch players. All of that's legit, but he didn't go too nuts. He didn't go too crazy, and his team responded. And they were great. They were absolutely great. So, Ron, in the end, Dodgers, are you wearing an NL pennant shirt or a hat or a gear?
I'm hoisting a banner.
Just a banner?
Yeah, runners up.
God, I really want to. I got to have some time because it's going to take a while of looking up. Maybe somebody's already done it. The last time back-to-back championships were celebrated on the same field, not, you know, of the losing team. That stinks.
It's got to hurt so
bad. Dodger Stadium's
like, although, I got to say this, you know, watching that game last night, man, Red Sox fans travel. Either
they
that
do.
or it's stereotypical L.A. fan that it's just L.A. fan does not go to L.A. games.
Okay, was it just me because I noticed it more? Was it me or was the Red Sox present louder last night than it was in game 3 or 4?
I'm either thinking that there were more Red Sox fans there or they were sitting by all the microphones.
Okay, maybe so. Because I'm wondering if the Dodger fan went, I'm done. It's 3-1. Red Sox fans here, buy your ticket for
$1,000. Well, I mean, I don't know if you have you seen that viral video of there's a girl wearing a Dodgers hat, has on, you know, is dressed in blue and white. And I think it was Mookie Betts that hit a home run and she's clapping.
Really?
And I don't know if she's just celebrating the fact that there's a home run being hit or she's confused that wasn't her team or that's not how you win games. You're not supposed to have the lowest point total. It's not golf.
That's cool.
I have no idea, but that's the iconic image of LA fan right there. It's just, home run was hit. I'm just going to cheer this one.
SB Nation Radio.
Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
800-777-2907. All your thoughts on the World Series and the Red Sox winning the championship. One other note before we get to the football. You made a really good point about Red Sox fans, and they do travel well. I mean, they've got a global fan base and what Red Sox Nation, if you will. I remember when I was in Colorado and the Rockies were in the World Series, and the big criticism that the Rockies ticket office got from the people of Denver was that instead of having the traditional line up outside the stadium and get your tickets, they go on sale Friday at 10 and people camping out, and you know, you could get it so it's nice and orderly as there's a line for tickets. The Rockies decided to sell the tickets online. Like, you could go online and get your World Series tickets, and it opened at 10 o'clock. And the biggest criticism was, well, because it's online, it's not limited to locals who want to buy tickets. You can now, because you're having it online, anybody in the world can buy tickets. I mean, somebody in Indonesia could log in and buy tickets. You know, somebody, it doesn't matter. So Red Sox fans had just as good a chance of buying tickets at Coors Field than Rockies fans did. And the problem was that Red Sox fans really were global. I mean, they were all over the world, and they would have no problems spending time getting in and getting tickets. And the two games that they had at Coors Field, two games I was at, you noticed them. I mean, it was a bizarre feeling. Now, look, they didn't outnumber Rockies fans, but they were strong enough that you knew they were there, kind of like Steelers fans in a way. That they were there, and so the Red Sox would get a hit or a home run or whatever it was, you knew the noise was there. Of course, Matt Holliday hit a home run for the Rockies and the place went crazy and whatnot. But at the end of that series, when it was over and the Red Sox were celebrating on the field, boy, when all the Rocky fans cleared out and the Red Sox fans all kind of came down below to get pictures and kind of cheer the team, I remember thinking, wow. That is a great traveling crowd that came to this World Series. They really are everywhere. They got their hands on these tickets. And I'm wondering if Dodger fans just went, I'm not going anymore. I'll just give you the tickets. I bought them in book. I'll give them to you. Much like Kentucky Wildcat fans at the SEC tournament when they give away the rest of the ticket packets when the Cats lose early, which they don't lose very often. But that's Boston for you. All right, 800-777-2907. So you had that plus the Sunday night football game was good, and I didn't watch enough of it last night because I was kind of watching baseball. And I was flipping back and forth, but the Saints went along and beat the Vikings, have won their sixth in a row now, and they did it with Drew Brees not bombing it down the field, throwing short passes, utilizing the running game. D. defense has gotten better, forcing some turnovers. And the Saints keeping pace, one of the better teams in the NFL. But the game I really want to talk about is a game I did watch. Did you see the Packers-Rams game? Was that on in your area?
It was, well, no.
Did you get a little bit? No, you didn't. That's too bad.
I didn't watch that one.
Boy, you get.
I watched the highlights.
You missed one hell of an ending.
Yeah, well, I'm happy for Ty Montgomery because I put him on my fantasy roster.
Exactly. Wow.
And just to kind of sum up how my fantasy week went, I didn't check my players in time from Thursday night. And I didn't see that Kenny Stills, who I've had on my fantasy roster, and he's produced very well for me over the course of this year. I did not see that he wasn't playing. So I was carrying a big fat zero going into this week. And I'm like, that stinks, but you know, hopefully I can rally. And I have a lot of guys on bye, so I was like, I'm going to stick Ty Montgomery in. He's projected to get some points. I did not think and figure that Ty Montgomery was going to end up with less points than a guy who didn't even set foot on a field.
Yeah, good point.
That one kind of hurt.
Ty Montgomery,
he's out of a job, right?
I don't talk to him at all.
He's out of a job.
Like, he's got to be, right?
There's no way
like
Aaron Rodgers even let him set foot in the locker room.
You know, like how like basketball players, ever since like Chris Webber called that timeout, like every basketball coach is like insistent, like no timeouts. We have no timeouts. How many timeouts do we have? Zero. Everybody zero. Why in the world did the Packers not say to every return man, you take that out of the end zone?
You don't even catch it.
I will slaughter you.
You just let it, just watch it fly through the air with the greatest of ease and just let it drop.
Just drop. I will kill you and your entire family if you take it out of that end zone. That seems a little harsh. Yeah, because I mean it. We have Aaron Rodgers, and if he doesn't see the field because of your stupidity. First of all, Ty Montgomery made a mistake running it out to begin with. Forget the fact that he fumbled the ball and that ended the game. Forget that. The fact is, even running it out was a dumb, stupid thing to do. Just set it all up and let Aaron Rodgers go with the time he needs. Unreal. Unreal. It's a gigantic blunder, but rarely, and here's the cool thing, rarely do we get to see the au naturel disgust of another player on that team. And luckily for us, the cameras caught Aaron Rodgers in a frustrated, angry mode because he took it out and fumbled the ball. We're waiting for this classic end to this game, a classic finish to this game, and we were all robbed of it because one guy's ego was like, take a knee. Oh, I can't. That was a good game. That was a good game between two good teams, and Aaron Rodgers, any time in the fourth quarter with few minutes on the clock or whatever it is, when he gets the ball trailing, that's what you're paying. That's what you pay all of it for. You watch a three-hour game, and it's a final minute. That's what you're paying for. That's what you got your 3 hours of time in to see Aaron Rodgers do that. And Ty Montgomery robbed us of that. Yeah, I would call him and say, thanks. Turn in your playbook, please.
Yeah, no need for you to show up this week.
Yeah, Aaron doesn't want to see you in this facility anymore.
Well, I mean, I am definitely dropping him from my league because I know he's never going to get the ball again. The guy could be wide open, standing in the end zone, no one within 20 yards of him, and Aaron Rodgers was like, no, I'm going to thread the needle and throw into whoever who's quadruple covered right now. I'd rather take a chance with him than throw it to you.
That's right. That's right. And we were denied an entertaining finish. We did get a finish when Todd Gurley was like, touchdown, no, I won't.
God, and Twitter was in an uproar on that. Oh, he ruined the over!
Lost their mind. He ruined the over. I'm sure fantasy people lost their mind. I mean, it's whenever you have a player do that, I love the reaction. I love the reaction. Not to mention that there are people who bet the under that won because Gurley didn't score a touchdown. I'm sure they're thrilled and happy.
Which makes you think Gurley bet the under.
Yeah, and the Rams didn't cover. That was the problem, right?
Gurley's betting on football. That's the only logical explanation.
That's right. I love it. Guys can't even make strategic plays without us losing our minds. Listen, the NFL's got an issue. Fantasy football is so popular that you could almost start seeing strategy morphed into, well, we got to appease the audience because it's all they want is fantasy points. So we're going to manipulate our game for fantasy points. I mean, people, fantasy football, I mean, that's people were angry at Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley had a good quote, though. He said, they should be blessed that I've given them all these points over these past 3 weeks, which is a great answer to that question.
Well, my favorite part of the whole fantasy thing, I mean, if this was true, what I would really love is for, you know, I have a player tonight to hopefully, you know, salvage whatever is left in my fantasy league. I have Kelvin Benjamin going up against that Patriots defense. I'm hoping for big returns.
Maybe three touchdowns.
No, I don't even need that. It's a PPR league.
Oh, okay, good.
Hey, just go 1 yard in front and just catch a bunch of 1 yard passes because, I mean, your yardage might not be there, but if you catch like 30 passes, I'm good.
That's good. That's good. I got the sympathy trade from the commissioner Saturday.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, it was very nice. It was like, oh, I see you have Dalvin Cook, and I'll trade you. He traded me Adrian Peterson, but I had to give up Keenan Allen, and I got another.
He went for Cook because the commissioner is a known Vikings fan.
Yeah, but he was. But he
trying
also
to stack
said,
his roster to be Vikings now.
I'm also 1-6. I'm like, I can't. I couldn't make the draft, so I ended up with the computer draft, and there's no good players left on the waiver wire, so I'm stuck with my crappy team, and so I lose every week. I got a text from the guy I was playing, our good old friend Nick Schirra. He told me, please update your roster. I had four guys that weren't playing. Remember I told you at the beginning of the season I was actually going to try?
Yep.
No, I'm not. He actually begged me to put together a roster.
And that's right. At least your culture is there. I started off 4-0. Now after this week, I'm going to be 4-4.
Oh, well, I would.
I'm like the Miami Dolphins of our league.
Oh, I'd love to be 4-4. Are you kidding? I'm going to be 1-7. Oh, I did the best I could. Next year, I will make sure. Like, my problem was I got in this late and I could not change the plans that I had for draft night. So actually, that was the night we went to downtown Nashville. We never go to downtown Nashville.
That's when you do it on your phone.
I didn't. I was out with my cousins. We went to downtown Nashville. I had a good time, had a few drinks, had fun. I missed the draft. I paid that heavy price. And now I'm getting sympathy trades. Here's a good player for your player that's out 6 weeks. My goodness. And here's the other thing too. There's no like protect the field kind of thing. You know how in golf, if you and I are playing in a tournament and I stink and I'm in last place, but you're in first place and I see you cheat, I'm supposed to report you anyway, even though it doesn't affect me. I'm supposed to report you because I got to protect the field. The guy that's in second, I'm supposed to protect him. I have a duty to protect him. There's no protect the field in this. He's like offering me a sympathy trade, and Nick Schirra could have said, that doesn't really go till next week, but who I play this week, he could have said, no, he's on his own. You don't give him sympathy trades. No. Don't give him Adrian Peterson because he needs a running back because one of them got hurt. No, it's not how we do this. But that's how we do this because I needed it. Oh, my goodness. I feel like I'm the airline passenger that needs to go on with women and children board first, or the children board first, and I have to go on. Because I need extra help with getting my fat body into the seat. I feel like I need extra help with my fantasy. It's like, he doesn't know a lot about football. just help him out. I'm like the secretary that's just in it for like fun. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know anything.
I don't even know
who these players are. I'm assuming this Tom Brady guy is good.
If that's the case, then you'd be winning.
Yeah, maybe that's the case.
Because, I mean, that's who always ends up winning leagues. They're the ones who don't know anything.
That's right. That is very true. Good
picking
point.
Based off of name recognition and his butt looks good in that uniform.
Yeah. You ever do those suicide pools where you pick like you have to pick a team not to lose and then
yes.
Like you ever do one of those?
Yeah.
My God. I have done those at various places I've worked and I am blown away who's left standing with like 4 weeks to go. It's always someone in sales. It's like football. I don't know. Just tell me the names of the mascots. I'll just pick that. Or give me just a copy of the standings. I'll just pick that.
Well, that's why, I mean...
Like, how in the world are you still in this?
Yeah, that's why the people who win March Madness pools are always ones who, I mean, they're just randomly, I bet you they're flipping coins on some of them.
I like Duke because it's easy to write. Duke.
And I've heard of Duke before.
Yeah, I've heard of Duke before.
That sounds familiar.
Good. Yeah, and they just write them down.
Although, exactly. You know, Villanova is the number one team in the country. I'm not going for Villanova. I don't even know where that is.
Yeah. And if you have to write out a long team, forget it. UC Greensboro? No way. I'm writing that.
How can I abbreviate that? That's too much.
No, that's too much. I ain't doing that.
That's why all those people who got University of Maryland, Baltimore County?
Yeah.
Is that the
University of Maryland, Baltimore County is right.
You could write the initials. UMBC was a lot shorter than Virginia.
That's right.
That's how you got people who actually picked a 16 over a 1.
All right, 800-777-2907. Oh, we got college football, NFL, and World Series. It's kind of a cool Monday. It's a lot on the plate. It's SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we'll get into more from the NFL week number 8. But, last night I was watching the baseball game, and my wife came in. She went to go pick up my son at his job. She came in the house and she said, "Your car doesn't start." And I said, "What do you mean my car doesn't start? My car's 3 years old.
God, that's always a good feeling."
She goes, "Your car doesn't start." And my first thought was, must have left the stupid light on or something, maybe drained the battery. I just drove it a couple hours ago. I go into the car. The car, everything works. Lights work. Radio works. All the bells and whistles turn on. The car doesn't turn over. It's 3 years old. The car won't turn over. It's got some computers into it. So I look online, right? I look on YouTube. And they say, "Oh, no, in this car, there's like a safety feature. Sometimes it goes off. In order you want to start your car, turn it off and then press this button 5 times and then push the gas pedal and turn it back on again." So I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool. Maybe that's it." So I go back because the guy said, "Oh, yeah, all your lights will work, but your car just won't start." He goes, "This is what you do." I go back out to the car. I do exactly what he says. Nothing. Nothing. I go back and do it exactly what he says. Nothing. Now I'm lost as to why my 3-year-old car won't turn over. Everything on the car from the battery standpoint seems to work. It just won't turn over. And now I'm angry because I'm like, I bought this car because I used to have an awful car that had these kind of problems. And I said, "Nope, forget it. I'm getting another car, family truckster, so we can take road trips in." And now I'm 3 years in and I won't start. And by the way, if that's true, that there is this code that I got to do in order to start my car, it is not in any operations manual that I own. I had to go on YouTube.
So
to
you didn't do the up, down, right, left, A, B, A, B, A, B, up, left.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. I mean, if I find out from the dealership, no, you got to do this. I'm like, show me in the manual where this exists instead of some guy from YouTube doing it. Oh, this drives me nuts. SB Nation Radio.